Dawn, would you pray for the word? And Josh, Joseph, could you turn this down a little bit, please? So we are in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been looking at the armor of God for the past few weeks, and so we're kind of got a few more pieces of armor that have been provided for us in the spiritual battle. But I'm going to go ahead and read, I'm going to go ahead and start with verse 10, just to kind of make sure we're looking at this in the context of the whole picture here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so that's where we've been at. And just again, putting it in the context of the whole, as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, we're reminded that the Christian life, in fact, all of life, whether you realize it or not, is a battle. It's a spiritual battle. This is Paul kind of, obviously the Holy Spirit leading Paul to pull the veil away so that we would see what is real, see reality. And the fact that the problems that you have today, the people that maybe you're not getting along with, your neighbor or your boss or whatever other maybe challenging situation you find yourselves in, there is a spiritual battle that's going on in relation to that circumstance or that individual, or look big picture. Just think about the things going on in the world today. Don't think that there's not a spiritual battle, a great big battle going on today, and everything that you see on the front page. All right, there's more going on than meets the eye, and that's what Paul is doing. He's reminding the Christian, listen, when you think about it, go back to chapter 4, chapter 5, when you think about your marriage, when you think about your children, when you think about the place where you work, and all, the various relationships that you have in the church or outside the church, all of those relationships are in the context of a very real spiritual battle against a very real enemy who wants to ruin you. He has a plan, and we talked about the fact the wiles of the devil. Wiles is scheme. He has a scheme. He has a strategy. He's not just winging it like you and I do oftentimes in our, sadly, sometimes in our own spiritual life. We're just kind of winging it. We're not approaching our life of faith with some degree of a strategy or a plan or a purpose. And of course, when we don't do that, we know how that works out. We experience defeat in our lives. And it's not because that we're destined to be defeated. It hasn't, because the armor of God has been given so that we would be victorious, right? And so that we would overcome. And so certainly any failure in our Christian life is not a result of a lack on our part. God has supplied everything that we need. Peter writes, for life and godliness. Everything that we need, we've been supplied. So we've been looking at this. Again, this is for the Christian. And so I want to encourage you today, if you don't know the Lord, you don't have any armor in the battle. You don't have any armor. You're just a casualty. And you don't even realize it. That's part of the thing is, the challenge is the spiritual battle isn't seen. And we see the effects of the battle, of course. But this is very real. And I want to just encourage you today as we think through this, and even in the songs that we've sung, where are you at with Jesus? Where are you at with him? I believe you're here for a reason. And so we're going to continue our study here. Again, let's read this together. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is the purpose for the armor. Now, we've been looking at piece by piece, but the exhortation is to put all of it on. And so, while we'll focus on one piece, keep in mind it's all of the armor that you're to wear. Every piece has a place of importance in the defenses as well as the offenses, if you will, of the Christian in the battle. So, and the point is, or the purpose is, that we would stand. Right? That we would stand. And so Paul, remember this is a prison epistle, so Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus as a prisoner. And he has been appointed a Roman guard. And so he's looking at the Roman guard, and he's looking at the armor. So it's the armor of a Roman guard that he's basically itemizing, the kit of a Roman soldier, and the example of that, that he's looking at each piece and seeing its value, and there's a place for each one in terms of what it represents, a belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness. And we've considered these, shield of faith, and we've considered these things so far. And obviously, not only the belt and the breastplate and the sandals and the shield, but also there's another piece that's important, which is, and take the helmet of salvation. And when I was, how old was I? Does that happen when the older you get? You forget how old you are or how long ago it was. In fact, this is kind of an aside, I'm facing it like a crisis. It's not a midlife crisis, but it's a crisis of I'm forgetting things in a rapid way. It's getting concerning. So I really need you to pray for me because I need to arrive in New York by Tuesday morning. And if I'm in this state, I'm a little concerned about what I might leave behind. And so, in fact, if my head wasn't attached to my body, that would be a real concern because I might misplace that. So we're talking obviously about the head today. When I was, it was probably about 7, we lived in Massachusetts, among many of the places we lived, and I was down in the basement, and I was playing darts in the basement. Not the safe darts. The real darts. The darts that stick, and leave a memory, right? And we had some neighbor friends were over, and they had some daughters, and so I would say if I'm 7, then the daughters maybe 6, right? And there I am, and I'm just, playing darts just by myself, minding my own business, just throwing darts, and then this little girl, I think her name was Carrie. Remember the Ike Bears? I don't know if you remember this or not. You probably do. You remember this, right? And so I think it was Carrie. It might have been the youngest. It might have been, Kelly.
It was Carrie?
Okay. And so I'm throwing darts. She should know that I'm throwing darts. It's very obvious. It's very plain. Throwing darts. And so Carrie decides to walk and stand between me and the dartboard. And look right at me. And so I have a moment of pause. As much of a 7-year-old pauses in life. And I just go. And that dart would have been a bullseye. But her head was in the way. And the dart stuck in her head. And of course, she screams and has to run upstairs with the dart in her head. And so I keep playing darts. And you know, she would have been fine if she was wearing a helmet. Right? She was wearing a helmet. She would have been fine. That dart would pop right off the helmet. Not done anything. So the real problem and the moral of that story is if she was wearing a helmet, everything would have been fine. I'd have been able to keep playing darts, and she would have been able to not be having going upstairs with a dart stuck in her head, right? Obviously, a helmet is important for a Roman soldier. It's pretty obvious because the head is a pretty essential part of the body. In fact, there's a lot of wounds that you can experience in life and be maimed and be greatly wounded. But the head is, you know, you need the head. You can go without an arm or a leg, but you need the head, right? I mean, you can go with without certain body, you know, like internal organs. You know, they have machines that you can hook up. I mean, again, all of that's terrible, and all that would be terrible to have to live with. But you can't live without your head. Right? We all agree with it? And so this was an obvious and important piece of equipment for the Roman soldier going into battle. Without a helmet would be absurd. I mean, now we think about the helmet and the purpose that it served. Obviously, it served for the protection of the head against swords and maces and battle axes and, in our case here, fiery darts, right? And so the helmet was provided that protection in the battle. Now we'll come back to that because there's a second piece I think that's important when we think about the purpose of the helmet, because the helmet also had, Roman helmet, had emblems on it, right? There were emblems, maybe a crest or a plume on the helmet. And that was important in terms of for its identification and maybe in some cases rank, and certainly its representation of the nation that he represented. And so there was, the helmet bore a representation of who the soldier was serving. And so that's an important piece of the helmet. We're going to talk about, mostly going to talk about protection, but I think it's really important also to think about the fact that the helmet is representative of your identity, of who you belong to, and of who you're serving. You see, going into battle, the helmet would make clear to the enemy and to your allies who you served, right? And so when we think about the helmet of salvation, taking up the helmet of salvation, is to do so is to make clear our identity in the battle, our allegiance, who we're serving, and what our purpose is in the battle. To put on the helmet of salvation is to declare that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Remember what Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 16 of Romans? I am unashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to those who believe, both to the Jew and to the Greek. Amen? That was him putting on the helmet. Putting on the helmet of salvation. This is who I represent. This is who I serve. This is who I live for. This is who I derive my life and power from. This is why I'm here. So he put on the helmet, and it reminds us why I'm here, who I am for. Peter said this, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is the helmet of salvation. So, coming back, though, to the purpose. So hold on to that. That's an important purpose for the helmet. But coming back to the purpose of protection and defense in the spiritual war, the Christian must protect his mind, because that's what's represented by your head. Your head control contains and protects your mind, your thoughts. Theologian John Stott, in his little book called Your Mind Matters, he said this, the battle, and tell me if this isn't true, the battle is nearly always won in the mind, right? Before you do anything in regards to sin or anything else like that, this is where you lost it, right here. Every battle is first lost here. The enemy, listen, it's important. The enemy is always going for the head. Josh, remember when we did, with youth group, we'd play free ball? Remember what one of the rules was? What's that?
No headshots.
In other words, if you get hit, you're out, but if you get hit in the head, you're still in. Do you think that kept me or anyone else from taking a headshot? Because the headshots were, that was the most fun, really. I know, that's me and youth group. Go for the head. Listen, know what the enemy's doing? Go for the head. He's going for the head, because if it can get you there, then what do you got? Affects everything. Helmet's so important. See, the condition of one's mind, how we think about ourselves, how we think about our circumstances, how we think about our soul, how we think about our God, that determines how we will fare in the spiritual battle. Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Where is your thinking today? What are we thinking about? How are we thinking about these things and about the battle? You see, it is vital to protect our mind because what we think about and how we think determines everything and determines what we are. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life everlasting. Life and peace. Proverbs verse 23, or chapter 23, verse 7 says this, For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, how you think, what you think about, how you think about, whatever it is, your circumstances, your trials, your problems, the world, the church, whatever, affects whether you're going to stand or fall in the battle. Helmet of salvation, pretty important, right? You see, God knew what his children needed if they were to grow, thrive, and persevere in this Christian life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? A what? Sound mind. God knew what we needed in the battle. It is clear from both scripture and human history that the enemy attacks your mind, your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4 says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What is the enemy doing? He's blinding the minds of those who are perishing. Why? So that they will perish eternally. He doesn't want them to think about the gospel. Doesn't want them to think about Jesus. It doesn't want them to think about their eternal soul. Right? And so, this battle for the mind it's not just about the thoughts and ideas of others, but it also has to do with our own, right? In other words, the enemy isn't seeking to just blind those who are perishing, but you know what? He wouldn't mind blinding you too, if you let him, right? This is 2 Corinthians 10. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds." Then he goes into what these strongholds are. "Casting down arguments." The word in the Greek, it means thoughts or imaginations or reasonings. In other words, casting down imaginations, casting down thoughts, casting down those things that enter into the mind that are error. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Bringing every thought, say thought, every thought. That means in the Greek, perception, intellect, the mind, purpose. Bringing what is in your mind, bringing your mind, bringing those things that are in your mind into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Again, where does the battle take place? Right here. Again, out of this, out of John Stott's book, and he's quoting Martin Lloyd-Jones, if you're familiar with that old preacher. And so these are the words of Martin Lloyd-Jones. "Faith, according to our Lord's teaching, is primarily thinking. The whole trouble with a man of little faith is that he does not think. The trouble with the person of little faith is that instead of controlling his own thought is being controlled by something else. And he goes round and round in circles. That is the essence of worry. That is the absence. That is the essence of worry. That is not thought. That is the absence of thought. A failure to think." Anybody worried about anything this morning? Anybody worried about anything this week? We all struggle with some degree of worry, depending on what it may be, depending on what circumstance comes our way. John Stott, according to Martin Lloyd-Jones, saying, in some cases, a failure to think. Think about what? Think about our God. Think about his ability. Think about his sufficiency. Think about what he has done. Think about what he has given. Think about the power that has been afforded to us. Think about the holiness and godliness that he's brought into our lives. Think about who we are and who he is on the throne, and the creator of the universe and the Lord of all. Think. Amen? Faith is a part, thinking is a part of faith, obviously. Now, I think that, he calls this piece of armor, he refers to it as the helmet of salvation. And so I think that gives us an idea, to some degree, what is being attacked, right? Each piece has given a name for a purpose, and in this case, it's called the helmet of salvation. What is being attacked? So to put on the helmet of salvation reminds the Christian, one, that I'm saved, that I am among the community of the saved, and that I'm a child of God. That's one thing that this, that the putting on the helmet of salvation does for us. It reminds me I'm saved. There is certainly an aspect of this assurance, because I think that's a real vital part of what the helmet provides, is assurance. You see, we're in a battle, and the enemy wants to steal our assurance. He wants to steal confidence in God's word and God's promises. Putting on the helmet of salvation brings assurance. By the way, even when I stumble, the helmet of salvation reminds me, but I'm his. I'm his. I belong to him. The chasing of the Lord reminds me that I'm his son. Praise God for his chasing. Have you ever done that, by the way? Have you ever thanked God? Thanks for beating me. Because you remind me that I'm your son and I belong to you, and you got me no matter what. You see, what the enemy wants to do in the battle is bring discouragement, maybe despair. And kind of stick a little lie in there for us to bite on and to believe. that what I have done, or what I have, if I tripped, I stumbled in my walk, oh, I don't know if there's enough blood to forgive this. You see, ultimately, remember what he's about. You're a means to an end. The enemy is against the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what he wants to encourage you to do is doubt the power of the blood. Doubt the power of what the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished. Doubt the power of the cross and what the cross has accomplished. So we put on the helmet of salvation. And we remember, we speak into that. We say, oh, his blood cleanses all. Say all.
All.
Also. To put on the helmet of salvation gives that assurance in the battle that he really did save me. That I really do belong to him. And that he cannot lose what belongs to him. And if I belong to him, then he can't lose me. That's encouraging. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace, you being God, Lord. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You see, we can be in the battle, but by not putting on the helmet of salvation, we can forget. You know, the Bible repeats over and over and over and over and over again, remember, 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 remember. Why is that? Because we forget, 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 and so we need the constant reminder. What do we forget about? We forget what it means to be saved. We forget that we are saved from the righteous sentence of death and eternal punishment. We forget we are saved from being by nature children of wrath. We forget that we are saved from separation and alienation from God. We forget we are saved from the tyranny of the prince of the power of the air. And that we are saved from the dominion of the sin nature. That we are saved from being slaves to sin. And we are saved from being dead in trespasses. And we are saved from a dead, darkened understanding. And we are saved from the law. And we are saved from the consuming fire. We can actually stand in the presence of God. Saved, saved, saved. He means it. So when we take off the helmet of salvation to defend against the fiery darts of the evil one, we are declaring, for by grace I have been saved through faith, not of myself. It is the gift of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's grace. And that's putting on the helmet of salvation. But it's not just for the present battle and for the present protection. There's more to this helmet. So it not only reminds us and assures us of past salvation and present salvation, reminds us of our future salvation. This is our scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope. Say hope.
Hope.
Say it like you mean it.
Hope.
Hope. The hope of salvation. So what is this helmet? By putting this helmet on, what is it doing? It's giving us hope in the battle. Some of you are in battles right now. And we're all in battle. But some of you, it feels acute. And in some instances, there are times in the battle where it seems all is lost. And it's the battle's coming from this way and that way and up that way and down that way, and it's hitting from every direction. And yet, so much so that you can't even think straight. The helmet reminds us that when the conflict is relentless and the enemy is tenacious, and though it seems that we are surrounded by his forces, the helmet of salvation reminds me that my hope is in him who is on the throne. You see, the helmet of salvation is our hope. It reminds us, the helmet is reminding us that salvation is on the way. salvation. Have you ever been in that kind of spot? Couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel? I remember when we were, my wife and I were no kids yet. We were living in Pennsylvania. I got in a car accident. Didn't have a lot of money. I don't know, he may even be still paying off college at that point. I don't remember, but I remember hit wreck in the car. It's ice, slick road, hit a tree, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And I remember sitting there, and our car was sitting, it was towed, and so sitting at this, you know, this towing place, whatever, $10 a day. It's like, I mean, smash the front end, and I don't know how to, what are we going to do? But then something occurred to me in that moment, maybe occurred to us, and suddenly this, it was essentially putting on the helmet of salvation. It was putting on the hope. Because all of a sudden I knew that, wait a minute, this isn't the end. This is a reason for this. God has a plan. God's working. I don't know what he's doing, but he's got a plan out of this. He's going to provide the $10 a day ad nauseum. I could still be there thinking, paying $10 a day all these years later. You know, didn't know how I was going to get out of it. But all of a sudden we prayed about it, and it was like, whoa, peace. Why? Because hope. There's a way out. Salvation is coming. God's going to provide. God's going to deliver. Didn't know how. You know, I went there. It was like the next day or two. Got there. Again, the front end is smashed. I wish I put a picture up here. Front end is all smashed up. Turn the key. Car starts. What? I drive this car, if you could call it at that point, to a friend's house. He finds all the parts it is needed and he fixes it. Just like that. We have that car within a couple weeks. Why? Hope of salvation. Now, we could have been stuck in worry mode and all of it still could have been taken care of. See, sometimes it still works out, but we don't experience the peace that comes from hope. Right? So that's so much. You can be saved and live this Christian life from now till you breathe your last breath and be saved but worry the whole time. That is a poor advertisement for the gospel. Amen? Because we're not called to fear. We are called to be of a sound mind. Right? He has given us real hope, real peace. We put on the salvation, and we know that God has a way, and salvation is coming. Salvation is on the way. But when we don't put the helmet of salvation, oh, sure, you're saved. But how miserable in the battle that is. Racked with fears and doubts and anxieties, and you're focused on the things of this earth, and our eyes are off of Jesus. But man, get your eyes off Jesus. You put that helmet on. Boom. Light. There is light. And our sister's going into a major surgery this week, and she's looking at Jesus, and there's light. Why? Because she's put the helmet of salvation on. Now, she could be, we've all been there when we were at that place and we were worried sick. I'm not minimizing those kind of situations. We've all been in them in some way or another. Loss, diagnosis, you name it, financial crisis, whatever. We've been all there. So I don't minimize the seriousness of those struggles. But God makes all the difference. Right? Jesus makes all the difference. Makes all the difference for somebody like Chris to say, oh, God spoke to him and said, this is mine. I've got this. Or live in fear and hopelessness and despair. Take your pick. Right? Helmet's there. It's been given to you, you and me. We've received the armor of God. If we're in him, we've received everything that we need to face, whatever it is. We put the helmet of salvation on, and God will prove that he is the Savior. Amen? Amen. So, we've been... I'm going to wrap this up here, if I can. I keep promising that, right? Romans 13:11. Do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's right into Christians, by the way. Christians that are sleeping their Christian life away. Okay? And this is an exhortation to say, wake up! those who are sleeping. Why? For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, putting on the helmet of salvation reminds us of past salvation. That time, that moment, that experience, you heard the gospel and one from someone or in a church or in a camp or in your own room or from a parent, and they led you to the Lord and you were saved. And then that salvation, that because we need the constant intercession of Jesus Christ to keep us saved. And guess what? Salvation's coming. Complete, full salvation is on the way. Get ready. Salvation's coming. And so, to put on the helmet of salvation is to fix our eyes on the hope that is on the way. Putting on the helmet of salvation means that I know that Jesus is coming, and that when he comes, we will be with him forever, because nothing can pluck us out of his hands. And his seal is upon us, and he knows those who are his. And the Christian can face anything, overcome anything. Do you know that there are no surprises? There's not one diagnosis that shocked God. There is not one pain in the butt neighbor that surprised God. There is not one difficult boss that surprised God. Not one bill that showed up in your mailbox that shocked God. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? Helmet of salvation. God's got this. God's got this. Oh, I don't have to be afraid of battle. I have to take the battle seriously. And I have to take my enemy seriously. He's no lightweight. And without the armor of God, which is ultimately putting on Jesus Christ, I don't stand a chance against the enemy. But with Jesus, doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what came in the mail. Doesn't matter what the doctor said. Doesn't matter what your neighbor did. Doesn't matter what the guy down the street took from you. Doesn't matter. Put on the helmet of salvation, and you know where your hope is. And you know that he's got you. And you know that salvation is on the way. So, a couple of closing thoughts here. Did I say that already? This is just some scripture. Again, we could spend so much time in all this scripture right here. Romans 12:2. Again, this is our final exhort. These are some exhortations to take with us, to go home with, to face the week with. Okay? These are other ways of what it means to put on the helmet of salvation. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perpetually being transformed. Constantly your mind is changing more and more to think like Jesus thinks. Paul referred to this in Ephesians 4, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word renew in the Greek means to renovate or reform. Our minds need to be constantly renovated and reformed and aligned with his promise, his word, his person. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, salvation's coming. Gird your loins up. Get ready. He's coming. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Paul says in prison, he learned these things, and he says, meditate on these things. On what? On the things that are lovely, pure, righteous, good, the things that you've learned, the things that you've seen, the things that God has showed you. Meditate. Where is your mind to be? This is putting on the helmet of salvation. It has to do with thinking. You have to think about these things with the Holy Spirit, God's word right there. Let's think about this. There's a problem coming in your life. Okay, God, let's think about this. You're thinking about getting married. Let's think about this. You're thinking about breaking up. Well, let's think about this. You're thinking about having kids. Let's think about this. Like you're thinking about raising kids. Let's think about that. You got to go to work tomorrow. Let's think about it. Think. Meditate on these things. Put on the helmet of salvation. It's every day. The battle's every day. But victory is every day. Battle's here. Put it on. Amen? Let's stand. Father, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for how practical your Word is. That you take something like a metaphor, like a helmet, and you speak truth to us. You tell us, you show us, you demonstrate to us through the Word of God how to do these things. And so thank you, God, that we are not left to ourselves in the battle of this life. Thank you that you are with us in the battle. And with you, we can face anything. Help us to put on the helmet of salvation, so to remember why we are here, who we represent, our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the plume be clear on our helmet as we are in the battle. What a blessing it is to look at another brother or sister in Christ wearing their helmet, their identity in Jesus Christ, and how we can join together in the fight, back to back, fighting for the kingdom. Thank you, God, for the protection of the fiery darts that have their goal to penetrate our thoughts, our minds. Oh, God, help us to be protected. Help us to put it on so that we might remember what we have been saved from and what we have been saved for. Lead and guide us, God. If there's someone here that doesn't know you, may they today trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. May they confess their sin, turn to the living God, and be saved. Oh, God, then they can put that helmet on. Thank you, God, for this day. Bless each and every one. Bless Asha and Roman today. As they are a part of this spiritual battle, may they experience the victory that is in Jesus Christ in their lives. And may we all do the same. In Jesus' name. All of God's people say.
Amen.